Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. Great to be together. Wonderful to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. We're going to be turning through to the Gospel according to Mark again, having a look at chapter 12. But before I read that, as always, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your Word, and we do just pray that you would give us eyes to understand what you have to say to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mark chapter 12, starting at verse 28. And one of the scribes came up to him and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said, 'He is one, and there is no other beside him,' and to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love a neighbor as oneself, is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Well, we've journeyed through two other questions so far. One from the Pharisees and the Herodians about taxes and Caesar. One from the Sadducees regarding resurrection. And then thirdly, here we find the scribes coming to him, the legal experts of the law. And this particular scribe this day had been watching and listening to Jesus' other answers as he disputed with them, or rather I should say as they disputed with Jesus. And he sees Jesus answering well, and there's a particular burning question in his mind. Now, it's interesting because it doesn't say he sought to trap Jesus, unlike the other two. It doesn't mention hypocrisy. Now, here is a legitimate question from a scribe who is looking for an answer. And the reason he's looking for an answer is that this is a question that they constantly debated. The Jewish law leaders, the scribes, would constantly consider what is the most important law, and they'd pit law against law, and they'd say which one trumps the other law and which one's more important, and how do we be obedient in A, B, C, and D, and what about this situation? For example, what do you do if your neighbor needs a loaf of bread on the Sabbath? Because the problem is you're not allowed to carry a burden on the Sabbath. But you're called to show mercy to people. What should you do? How do you give something without breaking the law? Because they had a law that stated you couldn't carry a burden across the threshold of your house. And so they'd argue, how do we deal with this? What do we do? And they'd come up with creative solutions. Like, well, if the person comes to your door and you hand them the bread across the threshold of the door, you're not carrying it across, and they can grab it and take it back to their home, and therefore you're not breaking the law. How do we obey the law? That makes a lot of sense when you're a legalist. But this man, hearing the response of Jesus, asks the burning question upon his heart, which is the most important law? And Jesus says, love. Love. To love God with all your heart. And the second, to love your neighbor as yourself. They're probably words most of us are familiar with. But you know what's quite striking about this is the fact that he commands something that most of us, if we're honest, by default think of as an emotion. It's a feeling, isn't it? That's how most of us think. It's interesting that when I do premarital counseling with people, one of the first things we talk about is love. And we always ask the question, my wife and I, well, what is love? And people struggle to actually answer that question. What is love? Because society, movies, books, TV shows, have eked into our thinking and have twisted our understanding of love to make it to be a feeling and experience when it's meant to be understood as an action, as something you do. Hence, when Jesus says the first command is to love God, the most important is to love God, he's not saying you must have loving feelings towards God, though you want that. He's not saying you must have loving feelings towards God, but he's saying you must love him. And he's not saying the second commandment is to have a loving feeling towards other people. But no, you must act out love towards them. So then the corollary question, the follow-up question becomes, well, how do I know how to do that? I mean, Jesus says that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. How do I actually do that? Well, God tells us, doesn't he? Doesn't Jesus say in John that if you love me, you will keep my commands? You see, God tells us how to love him. In fact, where Jesus is quoting from in Deuteronomy 6 is all part of the expression of how God's people were to love him. Remember Exodus 20? I have redeemed you from Egypt. I have led you out of slavery. Therefore, here are my 10 words, my 10 commands that I want you to keep as you express your love for me. You see, the giving of the law was not a giving of a way of salvation, but the giving of a way of love, a way to express love to God. And so if you want to know how to love God, you keep his commands. And how are you going to know what that looks like? By reading the word of God. And so Jesus is calling this scribe and he's setting the bar as the most important command is to take up the word of God and love God by responding to him in the way he sets forth. And so you can see the logical follow-on from that when it comes to our neighbours, doesn't it? Because it's been very interesting over the last 2 years as this statement has been bandied about. As Christians everywhere have said, you need to love your neighbour. That's what you're called to do in this situation. And then they've defined what love of neighbour looks like. From both sides, I've heard people say, you must love your neighbor by wearing a mask. And I've heard some people say, you must love your neighbor by not wearing a mask. I've heard people say, you must love your neighbor by getting a vaccine. And I've heard people say, you must love your neighbor by not getting a vaccine. So how do we sort this out? Well, the exact same way we sort out the first one. How is love defined in the scriptures? Where would you go to consider how you love your neighbour? And of course, the passage many of our minds will go to is 1 Corinthians 13, the passage on love, as Paul is writing to a bunch of people who are not loving one another. They're terrible. They're not doing this whatsoever. And so Paul gives a corrective word of how to love each other. He says, love is patient. Patience is something you do. Love is kind. Let me put it a different way. Love is showing patience, kindness. It's not being envious or boastful. It's not being arrogant or rude. It's not insisting on its own way. It's not being rude. It's not being irritable or resentful towards others. It isn't in rejoicing at wrongdoing, but it's in rejoicing with the truth. So here's a picture of love. You want to love your neighbor? Do these things. do these things to one another. Ask yourself, how have I been doing? Have I been rejoicing in the truth? Have I been resentful towards other people in the church or outside the church? Have I been boastful? Have I been kind? Have I been patient with others? But you know, the wonderful thing is, this has nothing to do with you earning your salvation. Because this love is always an expression of what? I am the Lord your God who has led you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. The love commanded in the law is a response to what God has done in setting us free. And we know that based off the response of the scribe. It's fascinating, isn't it? He says, you're right. You're right. God wants that more than all the sacrifices. Why? Because sacrifices don't save you and neither does love. But God saves you. And so Jesus says to him, you're really close. You're really close to the kingdom of heaven. And we want to rejoice at that, don't we? We want to rejoice. He's close because he's got the correct understanding. No, he's not close because he's got the correct understanding. Because the problem is, though he's close, he's still not inside the kingdom. He may be close in his intellectual understanding of what is important and what is the correct response, but he's still outside. And we're not told he gets saved. As far as we can tell, he probably goes away just like the rich young ruler who misses out. And so the question for you and I, firstly, is am I like the scribe who might have the correct understanding of what it means to love and yet walk away sad and outside the kingdom? Or am I inside the kingdom and therefore I am going to love God with all my heart first and then love my neighbor as myself? It's a great calling, but that's because we've got a great God who's liberated us from slavery. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We do pray that you would bless it to us. Use it to nourish us and feed our souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks very much. We'll see you back here tomorrow afternoon.